here we are in our 28th lesson from the book of Ephesians, where Paul has taught us how to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. He told us who we are in Christ. We are the saints in Christ. We are the redeemed in Christ. We are the adopted children of God. We are the people who have received blessings upon blessings, and there is no reason at all for that to ever stop in our lives. This 28th lesson in this particular area of Scripture comes from chapter 6, where we learn in verse 10 about His might, about our ability to overcome. We're not warring in a very physical sense at all, but we're warring against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We learn that in verse 12. And then in verse 13, the Apostle Paul has told us that if we want to survive the evil day, we must take up the whole armor of God. We can't pick and choose different parts of the armor, because if we leave one part of this armor out, we indeed will be subject to the devil himself, and we will not be able to stand firmly against the evil in this world. And so that's the only possible answer for our salvation, to continue, for us to be safe in this evil and dark, wicked world. And then from verse 16, we read about how we are to walk worthy. Above all, take the shield of faith. And I think it's really important to note those words one by one as we go through this. You know, I have a question that we all should ask ourselves. What can take away my peace? What can cause me to have doubt about God? What is it that makes me feel like, you know, maybe I'm feeling like I'm losing the battle against sin? What makes me feel as though all hope is lost? What makes me feel like I should not have even gotten out of bed this morning? We can feel some of those things, and we've all in some degree have felt those kinds of things. One of the devil's most powerful tools is doubt. And that comes through human emotions. That's literally the most powerful tool. Human emotions. Where when we choose our emotions, like doubt, like fear, like being overwhelmed by questions from people that we didn't actually at the moment have answers for, then spiritually, we think that these feelings, they seem like they come from here, but they don't. These feelings all come from the evil one. They come from Satan, and he tries to use them to wreak havoc on our spiritual lives, our spiritual well-beings. We become overwhelmed when we let him do that. And nothing more does he want than to destroy your faith. Because if he can cause your faith to be wrecked, then he's already won the battle for your soul. And he uses every emotional and physical resource as a stumbling stone in our lives. Yes, sometimes we'll experience a doubt. We're not exempt from that as humans. Even though we're Christians, there's times when we might doubt and even feel like it's a bad day, don't even get out of bed. The Apostle Peter described the devil as a prowling lion, roaring, seeking to devour whoever he may devour. But we don't want to give him power over us. You notice I said give him, because he doesn't have power over the Christian. The reality is the only thing that will prevent our falling is our faith. And if we have a weak faith, doubt, uncertainty, being overwhelmed by the world and by the things of the world, those things can cause us to fall. Weak faith. And so remember, you know, the devil, he is real. He is not a cartoon character. And this is so important. And so the Apostle Paul describes the attacks of the devil saying those words, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Paul describes the shield of faith as the powerful tool that we can use to stand against the devil, against all his evil addresses or all the forces of darkness. And we don't want to overlook the power of this shield. Right? Don't overlook the words quench all. That's very important because what that's telling us is if we do take up the shield of faith, then he has no power over us at all. And that is the truth. The shield of faith has the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So keep that up here. Keep that in here. That is so important. Not just one of the darts, not just two of the darts, not a couple of the darts or a few of the darts. All of the darts are quenched by the shield of faith that God provides to enable us to stand spiritually against the devil's tactics. And the truth is that the power of God keeps God's people, keeps Christians safe through faith for salvation. And so that little bit there, the power of God through faith to salvation, we're kept by that. So here's another question. Is the devil attacking you right now? Or did he do it yesterday? Or was it Tuesday or Thursday or Friday last week? You know, if you feel like answering yes, I feel like I'm being attacked by the devil. I talk to a lot of people who tell me they're being attacked all the time by the devil. If that's your answer, then you think you need to do something up here and in here. It's time to look into the perfect law of liberty, that mirror of our soul, the Word of God, and see if perhaps through guilt of sin is the reason you feel like the devil's attacking you. Right? Are you dealing with inconsistent or unwavering faith? Are you dealing with some manner of immorality in your life? You know, we face the truth knowing that no matter what those fiery darts are that are being cast at us, the shield of faith extinguishes them. And so if I'm having feelings like I'm constantly being attacked by the devil, that's something that I need to address. It is extremely important to make that clear in your mind and heart that he can't hurt you. If you're a child of God, you take on that a shield of faith and all the darts are quenched. He has no power over you. Don't give him power that he doesn't have. Because he can't hurt you in any way, shape, or form. You don't have to suffer at all. God's given you access to the part of the armor that is the absolute most powerful against all his attacks. So let's make that very clear. You know, there may be a season in your life where you experience difficult times. There's no question that that comes and goes. The rain falls, right? The sun shines. And those times might make you wonder what's going on. Is there, you know, if there's any hope, any way out. So I want to make this really clear. I think that this is absolute crucial to our faith. What I want to declare to you is that with God all things are possible, Matthew 19 and verse 26. So ultimately, we're not relying on our own power. We're relying on the power of God, the one who created all things through Jesus Christ, the one who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin, the one who led Egypt out of the slavery of, or Israel out of the slavery of Egypt and had them cross through the Red Sea, destroying the enemy right behind them before their very eyes. And our God, Jesus Christ, who raised Lazarus from the dead, who walked on water, who's the one who said, peace be still, and the storms of the sea ceased, and the wind stopped, and the sun came out. Matthew 4 and 39. This is the one who has all the power. This is the one that we rely upon. He is the shield of faith, ultimately, through His Word. Thus, for God, there's just nothing too hard. Nothing at all. The power of God, the might of God, can extinguish all those troubles that the devil might try to throw your way. In every situation, every attack, the shield of faith is the absolute most necessary part of our armor. It doesn't make or belittle any of the other parts. They're all necessary. But in order for this shield of faith to work, it must be carried every single day. Take up your cross daily, Jesus said, and follow me. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God daily. And that builds up the armor. We start to have answers for all those gainsayers, all those questions that people ask that they really don't even know the answer to themselves. Because the devil never rests. He's relentless and ruthless, and we need to be the exact opposite. We need to never rest, but we need to do it in the love of God, in the Word of God, in the power of His might. And that's how we survive the attacks of the devil. The life of righteousness rests according to the one true faith. What is the scriptures? You know, they repeat this. They teach this in the life of a believer. That we rest in the one true faith. It is by the gospel of God. Paul says in Romans 1 and 17, the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. And how is it that the faith of, in the Word of God is powerful enough to overcome and be triumph over the devil? Well, John answered that in his writings in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 4 where he said, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Not going to, but has. Our faith, which is that shield of faith that can quench all those fiery darts. We have victory through Christ Jesus our Lord, who defeated the devil and was risen from the grave. And we have been, listen, we've been given authority by the power of God, through the Son Jesus Christ, through faith, we have been given authority over that devil. So we can resist the devil, as James says, and he will flee from us. You know, how hard is that? Resist the devil. You resist the temptation to sin. You realize this is wrong. You resist doing it. The devil just leaves you. He's got a lot of easier prey to go after. The faith that we have from God's Word, which we share, is the only answer, the only power, the only solution to spiritual attacks. You know, faith is the solution. Righteousness and unbelief are the problems. unrighteousness rather, and unbelief are the problems. And they're the very foundation for our sins. It's the solution to righteousness, and unbelief is the very foundation. Now the just shall live by faith, the Hebrew writer says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Listen, you have the faith, we can't draw back. If you go back to Psalm 18 that was read in your hearing this morning, and we read a few other verses here from David. David writes in verse 4, the pangs of death surround me and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol or the grave surround me. The snares of death confront me. In my distress I call upon the Lord. I cry out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple and my cry came before him even to his ears. And then we go over to verse 16. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Go over to verse 28, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over the wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, and he is a shield to all who trust in him. Verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Listen how important all those words are. God is the answer. The word of God is the proof. It is the power. And we can't draw back from that at all. We move forward like soldiers looking to the higher calling, putting the world behind us. This means that we begin learning and our own understanding increases and protects us. It means we're no longer acknowledging the results of the devil, but the result of God is powerful. We don't lean on our own understanding, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, but he will be upheld by the words of the Lord. He will be upheld by the hands of God. We don't want to forget. We don't want to forsake the directions that God has given us through his word, because it is profitable to our survival. We can't be drawing back. We can't be drawing back. The love of God, the desire for us is always good. Brother Randy mentioned this morning that his desire is that all men be saved and come to faith and repentance in Christ. That's always the path that God wants for us. He wants the unbeliever to believe and be saved. He wants the saved to believe and march forward and fight the fight for the souls of ourselves and others. Unbelief means I've dropped the shield. And when that happens, I can succumb to the devil. I give him power he doesn't have. And there are many who believe God is just keeping us from having the good life. I hear that all the time. No, you're not able to enjoy life. You got all those rules and all those things that you got to obey. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. That's why the shield of faith is necessary. It's a component of our armor. We have to ask ourselves, do I believe in God or not? Can Satan read your mind? God can. He knows what you're thinking. Even sometimes, I guess before you think it, he knows what you're going to say before you say it. Does Satan have unlimited power? No, God does. Who defeated who? Jesus defeated Satan and his power, and he gave believers authority over the devil. The obvious conclusion is that we must be shield builders. Shield building requires three things. Three things. And doing them will make your shield stronger and stronger as you do it by faith. You become invincible. Doing these things makes the devil powerless against you. And these obviously are, they're basics. And the more you add to the shield of faith, the more powerful it becomes. So we want to look at the first of these three things, building a strong faith. Look to the cross. Look to the cross. Understand that our faith has to be grounded in something that's greater than ourselves, greater than this world. The cross is that very thing. The greatest builder of faith, as you listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, he who did not spare his own son delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give all things? Jesus Christ was delivered up for everyone. God didn't spare anything to save us. If God gave his only begotten son to deliver us up, then what more could we ask for? We look to the cross. How could any of us think that God is not always acting in our best interest? The cross is where faith begins. But the resurrection is where our faith is set in stone. The cross is where faith begins. And our resurrection is where our faith is set in stone. You think that through. As of Jesus, Peter spoke, and he said, him God raised up from the third day and showed him openly. We know that Jesus Christ was raised. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, 500 people at one time saw the risen Savior. The apostles even sat down and ate with a risen Savior after he arose from the dead. Acts chapter 10, verse 41. Looking to the cross, that implies denying self, taking up our own cross, as I mentioned earlier, Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and following Jesus. You see, that shield of faith can be built and built and built and added to and added to and added to. Looking to the cross means boasting only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom he has been crucified by the world. Listen, we need to look at that cross. Jesus died on the cross. And this understanding of God's gift is to all Jesus. And there should be no price that God paid the highest, the ultimate price for our soul. And nothing can be added to that. And if your hope needs to be in the future, you look to the future. If you're a child of God, that's where our hope is. It's not here today, this time, this moment. You listen to how the writer, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning at verse 13. The Hebrew writer writes, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They weren't looking to this life. They were looking afar off. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. And he has prepared for them a city. All these had faith in the Lord, and they all died in faith. They accepted that they were strangers on the earth, pilgrims in a strange land, and there's a better home, a home yet to be, a better country, a heavenly home that God prepared. And we're those people. Now we have faith, a strong faith, even in the face of death, which Jesus overpowered, overcame. He destroyed the power of the devil, the power of death. Our faith is strengthened when we look beyond today to the promises of God, the shield of faith. When we understand that life is not the here and now. It's not the end. We're like Abraham. We're waiting for a city whose foundation and builder and maker is God. That's what it's all about. Looking beyond. Look to the cross and then look to the future. We look forward to a better place, a better time, a more secure place. Titus 2 and 3, we're looking for a blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We look to Jesus and his return when he will take the church up into heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, we'll see the face of God. We're looking forward to those things. Our faith starts by looking at the cross and then our hope beyond this world to heaven. And finally, we look at the inspired scriptures, the Word of God, right? The faith that we need. We need the scriptures. And no question that that faith is the first factor. Right? We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith builds us up. It shows us the signs and the wonders and the miracles that Jesus did and his apostles did in the sight of the multitudes. Right? Of Jesus, the apostle John, he wrote in truly many things and signs in the presence of his disciples in which were not written in this book, but they're written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see that? The Bible is the source of faith. We read all the witnessed things that Jesus did, all the witnessed things that God did throughout the Old Testament until this very day. Jesus turned water into wine, John chapter 2. Jesus healed a nobleman's son, rather, John chapter 4. Jesus healed a lame man at the gate, the sheep's gate, John chapter 5. John chapter 6, he said fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He walked on the sea. He gave sight to the blind. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And he himself is risen from the grave. And these are all recorded, all witnessed, building faith so that you may believe. You know, I appreciate all your patience with me today. I don't know if I've gone overboard or not, but I know that whatever ship I'm in, it's being guided and directed by God, and it will not sink. God is my Savior. Jesus Christ died for me. He died for you. God gives us faith through his words and the words that never change. The rock of Jesus Christ. And we need to be those people that Jesus talked about when he said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I shall be like a rock. The rains descend, the winds blow, and the floods come and they beat on that rock and it doesn't fall because it's founded, the Word of God. We need to give up our stubborn ways and just believe. Look to the cross. Look to the future. Look to the scriptures. Be strengthened. Build your shield of faith. And doing that will enable us to have a joyful life in Christ, to have peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that we're in His body, in His church, that will one day be lifted up from this world, taken up into the glories of heaven, where there's no crying, no death, no tears, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. That's what empowers us against the devil, trusting the promises of God. And when you do that, we become lights in the world until the day in which the Lord comes to gather His people up. The question is, will you be among that number? There's only one way to be part of that number, and that is to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to hear the Word of God and be drawn to Him, to believe the Word of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God, is a confession that we make, to repent of our sins and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And we are all sinners. We're all guilty. There are none righteous. No, not one. And as Randy mentioned this morning, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That includes making repentance for sin. And it includes confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and that includes being baptized for the remission of sin, to be added to the body and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have any need this day, whether it is to come forward to be baptized or to deal with some manner of sin, I invite you to stand now and come forward as we sing the song of invitation 819.